Hello and welcome to another episode of the Poppin' Bottles Dadcast. I'm Ben.
I'm Nick.
And we have a special guest today, all the way from Brazil. Right? Brazil?
Yes, Brazil. Okay. Not good. Australia.
All right,
Brazil.
Good. Yeah, not any of those other countries. He is the creator and proprietor of headoftheherd.com. We see him all the time on the Facebook Dad Bloggers group. Please welcome Stephen Green. How's it going, Steve?
Hi, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Thanks for coming on. Seriously.
Yes.
Yeah, that was really weird. That's about as weird as it's gotten.
Yeah.
But, how's everything going on down there, man?
Everything's going pretty well at the moment. Everything's warming up nicely for the summer.
Mm.
Making plans to go to the beach. So, yeah, everything's pretty good.
Ah, jealous. Yeah, like we were saying earlier, up here in Pennsylvania, it's like 30 degrees every day. It's getting crazy.
No, I'd rather that here.
It could be worse. We could be in Canada.
Yeah, we could be in Canada.
And colder.
Yeah.
Or Russia.
It'd always be worse.
Yeah. All right, so I guess first question I like to ask a lot of the guys who blog about dadding or podcast about dadding, that sort of thing, being a dad.
Uh-huh.
Was there like an epiphany moment where you were like, oh my God, I should get online and just start writing about this stuff because this is, you know, great material or whatever? Or was it something you kind of weaned into? Did you have a blog before this?
Well, I had a professional blog, but I really started writing because I'm from Britain originally, and all my family are there. And we can Skype and everything, but it's difficult for them to keep in touch with what's going on with their grandson, their nephew, day to day.
Yeah.
So that was really the reason why I started. And after about a month, I just found out that I absolutely loved it. And it's something I really got into. And it's kind of more than a hobby now.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome, man.
How long have you been doing it for?
Just over a year. Last week was my 1 year anniversary.
Ah, that's cool, man.
So, yeah. It's just a year now.
So the Darth Vader thing,
right?
On your website, I checked out your website a couple of days ago, and I was poking around. I was poking around a little bit this morning, and I found them, and I just how did that come about?
Like most of the things, it's an accident. I blogged about a couple of things. Well, I focus on the language because I'm trying to bring my son up to be a bilingual, English and Portuguese.
Nice.
And he started recently. He's just acquired the adjective bad, and everything is bad. So it's bad daddy, bad mama, bad everything. Everyone, no matter who they are. And so I think like this bad daddy idea, and I remember reading, if Darth Vader were a good dad, what would he be like?
Oh my goodness.
And so just a connection was there, and I decided to run with that and see what happened.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, that was the first thing I saw when I pulled up your site, was since obviously the bad daddy was your most recent post.
Absolutely.
And I saw the comics and I started dying. Like, there.
Oh, yeah.
So whoever...
Well, I love those comics. I mean, I love sci-fi of all types, and
yeah.
That was, obviously, for my age, that was my film. So,
yeah.
It's a nice little time.
That's cool, man.
I wanted to ask, I mean, obviously, from reading your blog, your wife's Brazilian, correct?
That's right, yeah.
Okay. So how did you guys make the decision, I guess, that you were going to, you know, since you're from, you know, you're from Britain,
right.
How did you make the decision that you were going to, you know, not live there and you were going to live in Brazil?
To be honest, I'm an English teacher, and I train teachers, I write online, so I can work anywhere. I can work anywhere in the world. My wife, she could work in a number of different places, but it's easier for her to work in Brazil.
Yeah.
So we came here, basically. That was the main idea. We have a plan in the future, maybe, to go somewhere else, but... Short, medium term,
I'm
going to be
staying here. All right, man. How easy was the, or how difficult was the actual move? Because obviously, you know, you guys just had a whole lot of stuff to ship down there.
Yeah, I have to be very There's lots of stuff still back home in my mum and dad's attic waiting for me at some point to get. Especially lots of books and stuff. I threw a lot of stuff out, and then a lot of other stuff I like, just chuck it in and deal with it later.
I can only imagine, because I got stuff still left at my parents' place, right. and they live 20 minutes away.
I moved to the house that we're in. We live right next door to each other.
Yeah.
The house that I'm in now, we moved in a year ago. I moved, like, from 2 miles down the road, and that sucked. So I complained about moving 2 miles down the road. I can't imagine moving, you know, across the world.
Yeah, literally.
I think it's probably easier to some extent because you know you can't bring everything.
Yeah.
And so all the tat that I've accumulated over years, it's just like, get rid. Just bring what I really, really need.
Yeah, might as well.
But I've built it all up again now, though. I've very quickly got a lot of rubbish in my house.
Nice. So, yeah, I know you guys got the Rio Games coming up. Lots of preparation going on for that. And basically the whole country is going to be busy.
It's just going to be... It's a big building site. The whole country is a building site. Look out my window and all you can see is cranes and there's roads being dug up and everything.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be a good time. The whole country's getting a month off. It's a month of holidays.
That's awesome.
Schools are out, universities are out. It's just going to be one big party.
So does no one's going to work?
I don't think so.
I'm jealous.
the country is football mad. Even people don't like football. Whenever the World Cup is on, if there's a Brazil game, everything stops. And so having the World Cup here, it's the first time since 1950.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's going to be working.
Dude, that's going to be crazy, man. Are you going to be able to take the little one to the game?
I don't think I'll take him to any game. I doubt I'll go to any games because getting tickets is going to be difficult. I don't think I'll take him because I'm going to go and enjoy myself.
Man, you got to get some dad time, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
My when it was in France in year was that 98, yeah, 98. My younger brother went over there with my dad, and they played in a tournament, just kind of like an international soccer tournament with just kind of like an all-star team, and they got to go to a bunch of the games while they were over there.
Fantastic.
I mean, they were lucky. My brother's one coach was the trainer, like the physical trainer for the U.S. men's team.
Wow.
So,
that's crazy.
That is pretty, yeah.
Yeah, so he had, you know, he had all sorts of connections, so he got to set them up and, you know, go meet the team. I think they had Nike Town over there when the tournament was going on, so like they went. And down in my basement, I have a big American flag that he brought back with all of the signatures from the entire U.S. men's team.
I didn't get to go. I don't want to hear this.
I was here.
I don't want to hear this.
I'm here, and my younger brother's over playing in France and going to see U.S. Germany in, you know,
oh my goodness,
France.
That's not right. It's always the little brother who gets the stuff like that.
I mean, he was better than I am. I was terrible. I mean, he was playing. He's 2 years younger than I am. He's playing on, like, guest playing on my club team and making the rest of us look terrible. And I'm like, I quit soccer forever. I'm like, go, you know, be your superstar. I'm just gonna sit back and not play anymore.
All I ever had was motivation, and that was it. Nothing else. Not an ounce of talent.
You gotta practice more. Practice makes perfect, right?
Not when it comes to sports.
Yeah, I actually heard a story a little while ago about Justin Bieber.
Hi.
He went to Spain, right? And so, you know, you've got Real Madrid and you've got Barcelona. And he went to Madrid to play, like, a charity game. and he was wearing a Barcelona jersey.
Oh, that's a
when he got there, and like I thought the guy was gonna get, I thought he was gonna get beat up in the parking lot or something like that.
Oh man, I had to not understand what you're doing.
Yeah, right.
Did you just call them Real Madrid?
Yeah, Real Madrid.
Real.
Oh, I'm sorry, Real Madrid. I'm so American. I just I don't even know what I'm doing.
But, you can't mess those up. You can't.
Yeah.
So how old is your son?
He's 2 years, 4 months, and a month.
Okay. Oh, cool, man.
Has he gotten into the terrible twos?
Yeah, we've had a couple of tantrums. This week we had a couple of big tantrums. Last week was our first public one.
Jeez.
That was fun.
That's something I look forward to.
It's
I look forward to the challenge.
Yeah, my oldest daughter, Sophia, she'll be 3 end of February, so she's what? Just over 2.5 at this point.
Okay.
And she's just full on in the terrible twos. I don't get what I want. I'm going to throw a tantrum. You tell me not to do something, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it worse. And it's just like, I wake up and I see her and I'm like, it's like a countdown to like a time bomb going off. Like, what are you going to do? What are you going to get mad about?
Yeah. You know it's coming.
Yeah.
But,
I'm like, I don't even know how to combat it anymore.
Yeah.
I'm like, go to timeout. That doesn't work. She sits there and cries. I'm like, hey, I got nothing.
All I could do is I would just sit next to him, make sure he doesn't hurt himself, and let him just go.
Is that I guess your primary advice for parents who are about to enter the terrible twos range? Just kind of patience and.
I honestly don't think there's anything you can do about it. The only thing you can do is give them what they want, but if you give them what they want, then it'll just make it even worse next time.
Yeah, definitely.
Stick to your guns and just be patient.
Yeah.
And don't be embarrassed. I said I had a public one last week, and I thought I was trying to prepare for it, and I didn't get embarrassed. I just walked around with him, let him go mad.
Yeah.
Most people understand, I think.
Yeah, I think that's one of the... I guess misconceptions that new parents or at least new dads have every once in a while is that, you know, your kid's screaming their head off in public and you think that everybody is, you know, judging you like you're a bad parent or something like that. But
I think they are.
Really? You think?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about that, man. Like, I think
if I say if you go to a restaurant and, you know, your kid's just acting out, throwing crap. I mean, I've worked as a server before and anytime, this is before I had kids, anytime, you know, I get a table with kids, I just want to run out of the restaurant.
Jeez.
Cause it's
just... Yeah, there's a place for a restaurant, I agree. The kid starts messing around, take him out. Not worth it.
Yeah.
You've got to have consideration for others. But in a shopping center, shopping mall, forget it, let him shout.
Yeah, right. Most of the teenagers are doing that anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, we go shopping. She wants to push the cart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, she doesn't want to push from the bottom. She wants to hang off of the handle. And she's like, her feet are dangling. I'm like, get down. And then she freaks out if we try to get her, either put her in the seat or let her ride on the side. And I'm like, Just don't run away so I have to chase you around the store, which is, it's every trip I'm running down aisles chasing her.
So you've had running away stuff, yeah?
Yeah, that's the worst.
That is the worst. It's, you turn around and where's it gone? Where they gone?
Yeah,
man.
And it's like, if you're in, like a clothing store and, you know, there's racks of clothes, they just duck behind them or crawl underneath them.
Yeah, man.
It's like where the hell did you go?
your heart stops for a second.
Go on,
where?
It's one of the things my parents invented, and actually my wife's parents, they came up with one as well, is the family whistle.
Okay.
To try and train the kids and whatnot that, you know, when I do this whistle, you know, you have to come to me immediately because there's something going on. You need to be here.
What are you, the Von Trapp family?
Yes. Absolutely. I don't even know what that is, but I'll say
The Sound
yes.
of Music.
Yes. Yeah. I think my wife's is like that. And then our family's just...
Sounds like some secret James Bond stuff.
Exactly, exactly. It's like SEAL Team 6 style.
Your family is the Sound of Music.
Sure.
Have you never seen The Sound of Music?
I have seen The Sound of Music, but it's been a long, long time.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
I absolutely do. Yeah.
The Mr. Von Trapp or Master Von Trapp or whatever. I can't remember what his name was. He had his whistle that he just had on his fingers, and they all had, as he blew it, they would all come and line up.
And line up, yeah.
So
hey, man, I mean, you know.
Dude, I'm just calling. If I ever meet your parents, I'm referring to them, to their face, as the Von Trapps.
The Von Trapps.
No. Don't do that, because then my mom will start singing. So then stuff just gets crazy, and then my dad is like, you know.
I think you have to say it, and then just get out.
Yeah. Get out of my house.
Now, I'm going to go back next door. The baby's crying.
Yeah.
You're holding the baby. All right. No, baby's crying. Next door.
So, another thing I like to ask, you know, fellow parents, being that I'm a new parent, my daughter Emma, she's 3.5, going on 4 months now.
Right, okay.
And I guess, you know, and you're, you know, in the middle of the twos, you know. What were any surprises, basically, like stuff that you didn't expect from the little one?
I didn't expect what can I say? I didn't expect him to be so into stuff. I was always told that children have no, especially babies and children as well, have no attention span. But I could find stuff and give it to my son, and he would just play, if he liked it, he would play with the same thing or look at the same thing for hours.
Yeah.
Do the same thing over and over and over again. I really wasn't expecting that at all.
That's kind of cool, though, right?
Yeah.
To just sit him down with a little Luke Skywalker thing, and he's just like, ow.
And that's it. Happy as a pig in muck. Yeah. I was really. I mean, it's a problem with my. He's the only grandson on both sides.
Mm.
So he was getting loads of presents every day. There's another.
Oh, my goodness.
But he would have been happy just with 6 or 7 different things and just play with them. The right things.
Yeah.
And play with them over and over again.
That's cool, man.
Do you still have. I know you said you got rid of, you know, a lot of stuff when you came over, but do you still have a lot of, like, toys and things that were yours when you were a kid that he now plays with?
No toys at all. I think, well, I've got a younger brother, and I think he destroyed everything.
That's what younger brothers are good for.
That's about it, yeah. We had a couple of things that my mother kept. She kept, like, a blanket that I had and stuff like this, which we've given to our son.
Okay.
But nah, we didn't really. My mother was a bit regretful when she realized that she hadn't kept anything.
Yeah. Are you gonna be keeping stuff? Are you gonna be throwing stuff in boxes?
We've got stuff. Yeah. When he was like 6 months, but he can't close a few toys, shoes, stuff like that.
That's cool.
We're gonna need another attic thing.
Yeah, we have. I mean, we have a second baby who we had, Maddie, in August, who's actually 2 weeks younger than Ben's daughter.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Like, they moved in here with a newborn baby in August.
Yeah.
No
and I'm
way.
Like, I just, like, I see him coming in, and I'm like, you guys have a baby? Like, you know, just walk outside, see him holding a baby carrier. Oh, is that a baby? No, it's a dog.
Yeah, exactly. I'm one of those crazy dog people. Yeah.
So I'm like, how did you move with a newborn? Like, that's just insane that they did it.
That's mental, yeah.
It wasn't too bad.
But I just lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah, so we have our baby, Maddie. So we had saved, my wife saved, like, literally every single piece of clothing that we could from Sophia, all the toys, you know, all the baby stuff. It's like, well, we're going to have another one. Let's just see. And I'm like, all right, well, if it's a boy, then we sell all of the clothes at consignment sales and make money. Or if it's a girl, we don't have to buy any clothes.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know, it turns out it's a girl, and they're opposite seasons. Like, Sophia's February, Matt's right. August. So it's like, okay, well, we can't use those clothes because she's not going to fit in them because it's the wrong season.
Yeah, yeah.
And now it turns out that she's 3 months old, and she's now in the 6 month and up clothes. So I'm like, well, I guess we probably could have saved a lot of things that we sold and got rid of. But the bright side is we made money by selling a lot of clothes. But
we,
I have...
We moved to Curitiba about 1 month before our son was born. So I wouldn't have done it with a newborn, but it was stressful enough.
Yeah, it was a little crazy, but thank God for my family being able to help us out, and we actually had, it was like 2 or 3 days before we moved here, when we had our all of our baby shower stuff together, and so we actually talked to the landlords for our townhouses, and they said, yeah, sure, you can go drop your stuff off in the basement, so you don't have to worry about it, you know.
So they let you move stuff in early?
Yeah, yeah. So that was pretty nice. Yeah, they're not... Well, see, the thing was, is we actually used to live in one of their two-bedroom apartment things down the street. We actually had a lot of trouble down there. And they were really, really sorry, and they were really, really happy that we were back.
So you got lucky.
Hey, did well.
So you, where did you move from when you were, when it was a month before? Was that coming from England, or was it?
We were living in Rio for about 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
But Rio is, it's a great place, but it's so expensive, and it's crazy town.
Yeah.
And neither of us have any family there, so we needed some support.
Yeah,
babysitters and the like. Yeah. So,
from reading your blog, your wife's family lives in the same city that you're in now.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. So there's always someone around to lend a hand.
That's cool, man.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's jealous. Yeah. I'm in the same town as my wife's family, so they're always. They're always around to help with babysitting and all that. I mean, both of our families are. I mean, my family's only about half hour, 45 minutes away, so it's not
that big
of a deal.
Yeah, same with my wife's family, and they come over a lot, and then you know, and they're totally willing to you know take care of the little one, but it's just kind of hard, you know, figuring out schedules and stuff like that these days. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, the holidays coming up.
Yeah.
I gotta ask you, you know, because we're on completely different, I don't want to say continents.
We are in different continents.
Are we in different continents?
Yes.
But we're
South
connected.
South America, North America.
Yeah, but South America is connected to North America. You know, have you ever heard of
Africa's
Peru?
Africa's connected to Asia.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
all right. So what's the Christmas season like down there for you guys?
It's really strange to see Santa Claus going around in a red coat and a beard, and it's 40 degrees Celsius outside. you get all these Santa's helpers, the elves, so all these women with very short skirts. And
oh, goodness.
but it's not right. It's not right having Christmas with baking hot sunshine. I'll never get used to that.
Yeah, there's no snow to be seen.
I feel like Santa in, you know, other countries, it should be adapted to, you know, kind of how the weather is and the traditions type thing. So you would think that, you know, maybe Santa is some, you know, skinny buff guy in a bathing suit, but still with the white beard and the red hat.
Yeah.
But he's wearing red and white swim trunks,
flying in on his magic surfboard.
Yes, exactly.
pulled by a couple of dolphins.
The food is different. They have a lot of fruits because it's the summer. So they have a lot of fruits, and they don't have the berries and the nuts that we would have.
Yeah.
But it's basically the same, just really, really hot.
Where do you find a tree down there? Do you even do trees?
Yeah, they're all fake trees.
Yeah.
you don't get the real proper trees down here.
Yeah.
No, I'd die within minutes if you did.
Jeez.
Now, I gotta ask, are there, do you know of what Black Friday is up?
Right, yeah.
Up here. Is there anything, you know, tradition where it's like the first real shopping day for Christmas?
One of the latest American cultural exports is Black Friday. Started here in Brazil 4 or 5 years ago, and this year it was huge.
Yeah.
All the shops are doing Black Friday. They call it Black Friday in English.
Okay.
So you see all these adverts in Portuguese, and they say Black Friday, and it's everywhere at the moment.
Is it? I mean, I don't know if you've heard any of the stories from up here, like Walmart was like all over, like I saw it on Twitter and then like on Huffington Post, where it was Walmart just had a horrible day. There was like stampedes. Mm-hmm. A 34-year-old worker got stampeded and died because everyone needed to get in. And I'm like, you're getting a TV for $100 off and you need to run someone over till, you know, and kill them.
Yeah, right.
For that. So I mean, are the sales so insane that people go like buck wild and like get up in the middle of the night to go out and shop, or is it just kind of like we have good sales, kind of like get in here when you can?
We've got good sales. Come and see what you can find. One of the things I found strange when I got here, because in the UK we have the January sales after Christmas.
Okay. Okay.
And we have seasons where every shop has a sale. But they don't tend to do that here. Shops always had sales at different times. So they never had this idea of queuing up outside the shop, waiting for that moment that the shop opens.
Yeah.
So, not really. And there's lots of, people don't trust the shops here. So, lots of stories about how the week before Black Friday, all the prices went up 50%. So that on Black Friday they could say, oh, look at how wonderful sales.
Nice.
So I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what people believe.
So they bump their prices up and then drop them back down to normal.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
It's not a bad idea. It's not a bad business
That's
model.
Not a bad business idea, yeah, but... Yeah, man.
Do you guys do... I mean, do you travel for the holidays, or you do everything down there in Brazil?
The holidays in Brazil are all about the beach. Curitiba is about an hour away from the beach. So on 26th of December, we'll be getting in the car and going down to the beach for about 10 days.
Wow.
Most of the cities in Brazil are on the coast, so it's not a deal. Not a big deal.
Yeah.
But for us, that day after Christmas, 2 days after Christmas, it's just going to be the whole city moving en masse to the beach.
That's crazy, man. I can only imagine the traffic.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to it.
Yeah.
With a hangover.
Nice.
Screaming baby in the back.
Yeah.
Does any of your family come in for Christmas?
My folks were here 2 years ago.
Okay.
For Christmas. My dad couldn't stand it because of the heat.
Yeah.
Just couldn't deal with it. But now normally Christmas, it's very expensive to fly here. It's high season, so
yeah, I hear.
Very expensive to get here. They usually come November time or just after Carnival.
Gotcha.
So, how's like I said, my kid is about 3 months old. How's the sleeping schedule going? Like, when you get to that 2-year-old point, like, what do you do to kind of help that along?
Well, the last couple of weeks, we've hit a big snag because he seems to be in a stage where he doesn't want to have an afternoon nap.
Oh, yeah.
He wants to have his nap about 6 o'clock in the evening. He's tired.
Jeez.
But we don't want him to sleep at 6 o'clock in the evening. We want him to keep going until 8. So we have no routine at the moment. Some nights he's sleeping for 12 hours, then he'll go the whole day, and then other nights he sleeps for 9, 10 hours, and he needs a nap. We did have a routine, but it's just gone out the window.
Wow.
Is he in a toddler bed? Like, I would assume out of the crib.
Yeah. He's got his own little beds.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, we're at the point where, and this has been going on for almost 6 months now. Sophia used to, like, when we moved her from the crib to, you know, take the rail off, turns it into a toddler bed. I'd just be able to go up, lay her down, put her to bed. She goes right to sleep on her own. So bedtime was real easy. She was at her daycare, and one of the teachers decided it would be fun to pretend to be a monster.
Jeez.
And so, like, right around the corner, it was like, "Wow, I'm a monster."
Oh, no.
So that terrified her. And the same day, one of the teaching assistants was like, "Sophia, give me a hug." And she didn't want to give her one. And so the teacher, like, reaches out from the classroom. It's like, "Fine, I'm going to steal one." Like, reaches out in the hallway and picks her up. And terrifies her. This is the same day as the monster thing. So it was like, starting that night, she thinks there's monsters everywhere. So it was like, I'm laying in this tiny freaking crib with her every night. My wife was pregnant, so she wasn't laying in bed with her. So it's like every night, like, laying there. And so, shortly after, not that long later, we got her an actual toddler bed, so I didn't have to, you know, cram up against the back rail of the crib thinking, okay, maybe that'll help. She'll feel like she's, you know, a big girl and can sleep on her own.
Yeah.
Nope. It's still, like, every night, one of us has to go up there and lay with her until she's asleep. She's not even scared of monsters. Like, she makes jokes. She's not afraid of them, but she just refuses to go to sleep by herself.
The habit, huh?
Yeah, and it's like, you know, I've asked other people, you know, what do you do? Oh, we just sit outside the room and just let her scream herself to sleep. Well, she can open the door. So if she, like, I've tried it. I go downstairs, and then I just hear the click, 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 click of the doorknob turning. I hear it open. I hear her walk out, and then I hear the door slam shut, and she comes popping down the steps.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm just, you know, like, what am I even supposed to do? And it's like she wakes up in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden I look to my right, and there she is standing next to my bed. Like, I want to get in. I'm like, come on.
Just staring at you.
Yeah.
We always have to stay with her, with our son until he's asleep. We read him a book, and then lights out, and then one of us sleeps. Sometimes it's 10 minutes, sometimes it can be up to an hour before he falls asleep.
It makes the night routine difficult when, you know, it's like, okay, well, I have things I want to do after she goes to bed. You know, you never know how long it's going to take. Different nights, it's a 2-hour, you know, routine of just her talking nonstop, asking for things. And this is all with the lights off.
Yeah.
Right.
Go to sleep.
Yeah, we've been trying to, lately, she's been, our daughter's been sleeping, like, with mom a lot lately because she's been sick. And, actually, that's some, I wanted to ask you. I'm just, I'm not in the know about how things are, I guess, south of the equator.
You got that one right.
But, I would imagine it doesn't get too cold down there ever.
The city that I live in does get pretty cold. In the winter it will get down to 4 or 5 degrees, but the problem is that the apartments and the houses are not built for that temperature, so you get big drafts coming in and everything. And it's, when you're in the house, it's colder inside than it is outside sometimes.
Jeez. So you you guys do deal down there a lot with runny noses and flus and stuff like that.
It can be a big problem here, because in the day, even in the winter sometimes, it can get up to like 25, 28 degrees Celsius. But at night, it gets down to 3 degrees Celsius. So you get these extremes.
Wow, yeah. I can mess up with you.
I'm terrible with Celsius.
You're terrible with Celsius. See, I actually were...
Well, I know that 0 degrees Celsius is the equivalent of 32 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
Which is freezing.
Yeah.
It's the freezing part.
I know that 16 degrees Celsius is 61 degrees Fahrenheit. You turn the numbers around.
Yeah, yeah.
And 28 degrees Celsius is about 82. Again, you turn the numbers around.
Yeah, so
you go from, like, warm summer temperatures during the day to down into it could almost freezing. Snow type.
Yeah.
We,
many mornings you wake up, there's a heavy frost on the ground.
Wow. That's crazy, man.
Yeah, the only time I ever experienced temperatures like that, when I was 15, I went to South Africa in August.
Okay.
I went for a month. It was, beginning of August, I was there the entire month. And it was, the same thing. 80, 90 degrees, freaking hot during the day. And then at night, it's freezing.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta wear, a winter coat. And it was like that every day. For a month that I was there.
Wow. I haven't traveled much, if you didn't get that already. But yeah, actually, I was lucky enough to go to Italy a couple of years ago.
Counts.
My brother was stationed over there with the Air Force.
Okay.
And it was interesting because we were right at the base of the Alps, and it was, middle of summer. And we'd go up to, we'd go to the top of the mountain, heading up towards Austria, so heading up towards Salzburg. And it would be cold. It would get down to about, I'd say, 45, 50 degrees Fahrenheit as we were driving through the mountains. But then at one point, we came out from between two mountains and had to park for a little while. And, middle of summer, it was straight back up to 90, 100 degrees almost.
Right,
it was crazy. Yeah.
No, the mountains are the best because you do get the extremes really quickly.
Yeah. But, I guess, you say your son is 2 years old. I guess he's kind of used to that weather by now, being down there.
Yeah, the thing is, he loves playing with water, so he finds a hose pipe and he just plays with it. And when it's about 40 degrees Fahrenheit, it's not a good idea, but you can't stop him.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I did want to ask you, I'm just kind of scrolling through your blog right now on my phone. Out of all the posts you've written, what is your favorite one that you've written, I guess?
My favorite, that's a tough question. I think my favorite one was the one that I wrote a while back. The one I wrote actually last week, which is about Doctor Who, was one that I liked.
Yeah, I read that one.
Because that's kind of a British tradition with kids is to watch Doctor Who. I grew up watching Doctor Who.
Yeah.
And so this is like a long-term plan with my son to get him to watch Doctor Who. I suppose my favourite one was one that I wrote a long time ago now called The Death of a Word.
Right.
Which was about, he had a word for, I don't know where this word came from, it was Abuda, which he used for car, that was his word for a car. And he started saying Abu Dhabi, and we walked down the road, and this is when he was back, it's about a year ago, yeah? And he goes, "Oh, Daddy, Abu Dhabi, Abu Dhabi," pointing at all the cars. And then one day, he just stopped using it and started to use the English word car.
Yeah.
And everybody, all of his family, all of our friends knew this word, Abu Dhabi. And he just stopped using it just one day, just didn't want to use it anymore.
Wow.
That's probably my favorite post, but that's a while ago now, that is.
That's funny.
So you were talking earlier, speaking of, different words that he has for different things, you were talking earlier about teaching both English and Portuguese. Have you guys started with that yet?
Yeah, we started from day one.
Day one,
I generally only talk English to him. My wife only speaks Portuguese.
Alright.
If we're together as the three of us are together, then we generally use English.
Okay.
And he's got to the point where he understands Portuguese perfectly, he understands English perfectly. My parents were here a few weeks ago, and he had absolutely no problem understanding what they were saying.
That's cool.
He doesn't doesn't produce much language at the moment. We've got a friend whose child is about the same age, and he's speaking a lot more. But he understands both languages, and I reckon in another year or so he'll be as fluent in both languages.
Yeah, it's crazy to see them kind of advance in their language skills. I put up a post that I wrote from a year ago, just kind of talking about, as she was learning to work, to talk and use different words and things like that. And it was just like calling French fries like Fwen flies. And and instead of saying, you know, good night, she'd say night night and things like that.
Yeah.
And now, like, I'm comparing those two and I'm like, holy crap, like, she, full sentences, knows, you know, a ton of words. Yeah. And I'm just like thinking back, I'm like, it's only been a year. And that difference, like, it just surprised me. I didn't realize.
Yeah, it's crazy.
How quickly that can change. So I'm sure I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, give them a couple of months and you'd probably be floored at, you know, at the differences in a spoken.
Absolutely. I mean, I teach English and I study linguistics. This practical experience of watching a child learning a language, experimenting with a language.
Yeah.
That is one of the things that just blows me away. And he's at a point at the moment where he imitates everything. And it's just, it's amazing to see this.
Yeah, that's great, man. So we're right about at the end. We got about 2 minutes left. Any last words? Any advice you got for us?
You probably know by now. You got to sleep as much as you can when you can. I enjoy it. My son's only two, so I don't really know yet. But enjoying it for all fathers is to enjoy it as much as we possibly can.
Yeah.
I think we're a lucky generation that we've got this opportunity that. Perhaps our fathers, or definitely our grandfathers, didn't have, which is to be involved with bringing up our kids.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I love that part. It's just being around and
and
learning them.
Oh yeah,
learning those.
All right, so everybody, listen. Don't forget to head over to headoftheherd.com for.
You have to spell it correctly.
Spell it correctly.
Herd, HEARD.
Yeah.
And I heard you.
Yeah.
You can follow Steven on Twitter at H of the H.
Mm-hmm.
And check him out on Facebook, facebook.com/head of the herd.
Yeah, and that'll do it from down in Brazil and up here in beautiful downtown Pottstown, Pennsylvania.
Yes. Steven, thank you for coming on. We really appreciate it. It's great talking with you.
Thank you so much, man.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. All right. Good luck and have a great Christmas down there in the warm weather.
You too.